That's Maceo Parker. You know him from the James Brown Band. He's the guy who led the band with a trombone, as a matter of fact, with Sister Sadie. This is from his 2006 album, Mo Roots. M-O. Mo Roots. This is Lead Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead, and we begin on a very sad note having to do with the shooting of a person who didn't deserve it. She is still fighting for her life. And you wonder, you know, what is the reward that people seem to think they'll get by killing or attempting to kill someone? What does that do for you? Her name was Sasha Johnson. She was a prominent member of Black Lives Matter in London, a longtime activist. And shortly, I should say early in the morning, yesterday morning, Sunday morning, she was basically making a presentation with this group called Taking the Initiative Party, an economic and political group that she works for, when she was shot in the head. Things are tenuous, but people are praying and sending good thoughts her way. And we're hoping that she pulls through, but it looks very, very daunting. And you wonder, by the way, she is a mother of two children. So instantly you have three people affected by this vicious act. We don't yet know what the outcome is or might be, but our hearts are with her, and our faith is that she will pull through. It's an awful thing to do, and you wonder why do people do this? Simply because they have a differing point of view, or they believe they don't like this person or that person, or they don't agree with one's position or the other. This is outrageous, totally outrageous, but that's where things stand right now. The first topic I want to tackle today is about whether we have basically settled into the idea and the practice of Donald Trump essentially having set up a parallel presidency and also a pseudo-political party. What exactly is the status of Donald Trump? What are we to understand his function and role to be right now? The longer that it goes unaddressed, the longer it is legitimized. And you can't but be shocked that the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, seems to be taking it in stride that he has a parallel president. And it's a fact now. It is not something that is debatable. You may recall, I talked about this quite a while ago, that Trump, this is as the new administration was getting ready to be formed, that Trump, in fact, has organized a parallel presidency. You may recall that I said that. And he's conducting business reflecting his presidential view. of what it is he's aiming to do. And we're not seeing anybody questioning this. What exactly is Donald Trump doing? He established his White House, quote unquote, at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. He has since moved from Mar-a-Lago to Bedminster, New Jersey, another one of his properties that is on the brink. It's teetering on the brink, but he has to keep it alive as a preferred venue for golfers in the know. So he's going to be holed up there for the summer, reportedly. And in that time that he's there, he will proceed and continue acting as a president, a shadow president. And we hear nothing from Biden about this. This doesn't seem to trouble him at all. But it should trouble, if not Biden, it's okay. You're not troubled, fine. But this is not orthodox practice. And indeed, it sets up a scenario for major confrontation and, of course, confusion. People are still paying attention to Donald Trump as if he's just on a little vacation, but he's still tending to business, America's business. I've never seen anything like that. We're a guy who has lost an election, has been kicked out of office, and should, you know, put his tail between his legs and slink off into the sunset, still is prominent out front and functioning as if nothing has happened. And not only that, taking swipes at the now duly elected President of the United States, Joe Biden, and his new administration, and holding rallies and carrying on as if he is a candidate or he still can affect the outcome of the election, which has been settled. I don't understand the hesitancy either by Biden or by the Democrats as a whole, or other people who are neither Democrats nor Republicans, but are troubled by this development, which has not been quashed. Now, some people may say, well, Donald Trump just happens not to be president anymore, but that doesn't mean he loses his rights to organize and to advocate and to, you know, even make trouble. This is a free society and he can do that. Somebody needs to show me an example anywhere in the world where this is considered normal. You lost the election. Okay. I know you're not happy, but get out. And do your business very quietly, within the confines of whatever party you say you represent. Trump is still saying he represents the Republicans. We have a lot of misinformation going on, and it is very public. He's almost daring a confrontation over this very issue. Apart from it being very rude and schizophrenic, and just, you know, bad-minded, because he can't deal psychologically with the fact that he's out. You're out. A lot is resting on him still maintaining some kind of ties, which appear to be credible. He has to make it look very credible. that he still has clout at the presidential level to change things in this country. He's still a leader. He still has say-so. And people, I'm thinking maybe I thought it was me. I thought something was wrong with me. I'm fretting over this because I wanting, oh, I just heard a beep there. What was that? Trump wanting to force a confrontation, Trump wanting a fight, Trump wanting, you know, the Capitol attack part two. And nobody's saying anything. Apparently, it's okay for him to behave this way. It's okay for the Republican Party to let him behave this way. I think that needs to be clarified. I think this is a major threat to peace in this country. Okay. I just saw a note, but then it vanished. What's going on? All right. Guess they'll tell me if it is extremely urgent. This is not something imagined. This is not something, you know, unimportant. This is at the very heart of a simple thing that needed to be decided. Who is president of the United States? Who is to be recognized as president of the United States? A crazed man who has created his own universe, and people still refuse to recognize that that suggests deep psychological schisms in his head. But he is, in his mind, he is still president. And he's still conducting business. He's still receiving people who want favors from him, from overseas. He's still setting policy. And he has taken, I said it a long time ago, he has taken the Republican Party, or put more accurately, he has been given authority, sole authority, ultimate authority over the Republican Party to make policy for it, to decide its agenda, and so forth. So what are we looking at here? What is the hesitancy about getting this business cleared up? This is a problem. We thought we had an election, and we did have an election. We thought there was a choice made that Joe Biden was president. It means that Donald Trump should clear out, go someplace where you are seldom seen or heard. Do your thing. But he stays there, and he's continuing to function as a source of irritation, more than likely. Primarily one of irritation, but he's not moved. And he is gaining strength, and he's recruiting, and he is setting up for another turn at the wheel. In your mind, is this needless worry? Am I just making a big thing out of nothing? Is this an issue at all? Or should we have some kind of public statement around this, some kind of public action around this, that this is not a country of two presidents. And we will not abide anyone, especially Trump, goading the country into fractionating itself. The process of election is a process by which this country is accustomed to choosing a president. Biden outdid Trump with votes. Biden, therefore, legitimately can claim and has claimed the presidency. If for no other reason than good manners, Donald Trump should get lost, go somewhere else, and do something else. If the Republicans are okay with him barnstorming their party and taking it over, making new rules, deciding what is supposed to happen. I don't know who appointed him to do that. I don't know that there was a vote for him to do that, but that's their party. It's up to them. But when it comes to national policy and politics, we need clarity here. We don't need any confusion as to how many presidents this country has and who is to be followed, who is the person in charge. We don't need that. So I suggest that that take a top priority on the list of things to do, and that we get it clear once and for all just who the president of the United States is. It is sad that it has come to this, where people have to be told officially the president of the United States is Joe Biden, no matter what Donald Trump says or does. That's him going through his psychiatric problems. And that is the other part of it. He is doing all of this as an imperfect man, let me put it nicely. He's mentally ill. I'm not just saying that. I had said it a long time ago, but we've had organizations of psychiatrists and psychologists, and we've had even his own niece, who is a psychologist, confirm there's something wrong with him. We cannot have a nation, especially of the stature of the United States of America, functioning in this no man's land, where it is still possible that Donald Trump has not left office or still holds office, and that Joe Biden hasn't yielded. How bizarre is this? I'll take a break, come back to your response right after this. At 888-874-4888, let me hear what you're thinking on this question, because this is an unresolved question, and it's getting worse, and it is leading to a major confrontation, which is needless and stupid. We've had an election. We shouldn't be discussing this matter, but we are. And people pretending that the problem does not exist. Let's take this break and come back to your questions and comments at 888-874-4888. We have one more question to go, but we'll do that after we hear from you. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about this conundrum still haunting us as a nation. Donald Trump is still not officially cast off as the former president, who lost the election. He's still given coverage, sympathetic coverage, by a sycophantic press as a guy who is still in charge. Okay, they say, all right, we'll give it to you that Biden won or Biden is president, but Donald Trump has not stopped being president. And so the confusion grows day by day. What is he doing? He has taken over the Republican Party. He is essentially making policy for the party. And in other ways, also is still acting as president. He's receiving people who are normally, you would say, they kind of operate at the ambassador level, consulting him on issues and events that they want to have done, and they want his blessing and so forth. I understand that, but this is, it's now beyond the pale, and we've got to figure out what to do about it. Allie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Teresa, how are you doing today?
Oh, okay, how about you?
Okay, I'm glad that you're doing well, because I know that you had a bad day. I think it was last week.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry, my husband is working from home. I just wanted to tell you that United States government goes around the world accepting people that they had never won election as the president. And one of the last one had been Juan Guaido. So if Juan Guaido is considered to be the president of Venezuela, what can you expect of people believing that Trump is still the president of the United States? So it's a parallel idea in this country, the same way that is they still accepted Juan Guaido. So right there, there must be something wrong with this government. And you know that Juan Guaido never run for for the presidency of Venezuela, had never won an election because he never ran. So, and this is the government that had done this. So another thing that I have to add to what are you talking about, this is the same man who didn't want to leave the White House when he lost the election. So if he didn't want to leave the White House, we should not be surprised that he's setting up his own White House. Because we already know, you said it, they have written books about it, that is something wrong with him. This is the same man who had a failed businessman. And now we understand that he controls the Republican Party. How can somebody who had failed his businesses, I mean all his corporations, they have failed, how he could control the Republican Party? The only way and the only thing that I could see, and I just don't understand why he's not in jail, is to have a criminal case and finally put him in jail. Because as long as we have these over 70 million people out there thinking that this guy is still the president, that it was a rigged election, he's not going to go away. And we already know that by January the 6th. Some of the people in January.
What explains, I have to ask you, what explains the passivity of Joe Biden and the Democrats on this question? What explains it?
You know, I think it's David. He talks about the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And it's like you take the possession, okay, we take you down, then the next one goes up. It's like up and down, you know, you're switching places. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and this is what David says all the time, they are in the same party. Are people in this country aware that when you go out of the United States, a lot of other countries, they have more than two parties? In Chile, the woman who won, she's going to be the mayor of Santiago de Chile. She's a communist. Can communists run in this country? Can the Socialist Party run in this country? These two parties, that's why we don't have $15 an hour. We don't have health insurance for all. It's the same party. These people, the difference is minor. That's why Joe Biden is letting this guy control the nation. I can't believe that this guy still has press conference. It's mind-boggling that this is what is happening right now. It's like if he's going to take over on the next election.
That's right. That's what the signal is.
Passive. The Democrats are so passive. It's the same thing. All of them are the same thing. And David is right. It's the same party with a small difference. Even that group called the Squad is they're the same. Those ladies are the same. Thank you.
Thank you for your call today. 888-874-4888. Am I making a big thing about it, or do you see it also as something creeping toward an emergency situation where this must be dealt with, and it would constitute a major conflagration? And it doesn't have to be, but I cannot understand why Biden is passive about it. The Democrats seem to be okay about it. Well, it's just Donald Trump doing his Donald Trump thing. But this is a very serious matter. When people become more and more used to the idea, there's a guy who was elected president, but there's a guy who is really the president. And they prefer, in fact, they would invite a big fight over this, and there need not be any fight at all over this. An election was held. A president has been elected. The other person who lost, that's Trump, needs to go away, or at least not be so repugnant in maintaining a presence publicly as if he still has clout. He still has the presidency. And as I said about a media, they give him coverage. If he burps, he gets a headline. And they give more and more credence to the notion that Donald Trump basically hasn't been taken out of office. He's still viable as the parallel president. I talked about it. Don't say I didn't tell you. This was what he was setting up. The parallel presidency. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
You know, historically, thank you. You know, historically, this is really nothing new. Trump is just reviving an old tradition. I mean, Thomas Jefferson was influential for many, many years through a couple of presidencies after he left office. Theodore Roosevelt was so influential, he actually did start another party in order to disrupt the presidency of, who was it, Taft. In fact, that party that he got with were called the Progressives. So, you know, most presidents early presidents, like Trump, were so bankrupt by the time they left office, like Jefferson, like Andrew Jackson, that they were, you know, nationally ridiculed for that. And that you heard these same arguments, that these are, you know, dangerous interlopers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Theodore Roosevelt actually, after World War I started, asked for permission to start a regiment in Europe. So he's just, I mean, the tradition we have now of the president becomes a reclusive golfer after he leaves office, that really only goes back about as far as Eisenhower. Most presidents, after leaving office, had the courtesy to die. That was the usual way of doing it. So I think, you know, and Trump has mentioned before that he sort of idolizes Theodore Roosevelt in certain respects. So, you know, maybe somebody sat him down with a child's history book and explained to him how what Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, did after leaving office, and Trump is just emulating it. I don't see that this is, you know, for proletarians, working people, to be sort of very worried about the, you know, the protocols of presidents seems to be, to me, pretty much a waste of time. I have to admit, you've always surprised me in this regard since I've been listening to you. You seem to have a certain deference to the protocols and procedures and traditions of the workings of high office that a woman of your long experience, it seems to me, would see through the actual purpose of such blandishments for what they are, which is it's just a show of authority for people. They have no trouble violating laws or having laws violated as long as it doesn't affect them. So I'm afraid I don't quite understand the purpose of the discussion. But like I said, it's historically pretty common for presidents to act this way. He's just reviving an old tradition. Why should we care, I think, is more important. Why aren't we working on, you know, the things you originally brought up? It's like, you know, neither Biden nor Trump is going to do anything about irresponsible, power-mad cops killing innocent people. So I'm afraid I don't understand the whole point, but perhaps you could explain
that. Well, I started the program today talking about the shooting in London of a woman whose great crime was that she was organizing under the Black Lives Matter banner. Shot in the head. She wasn't breaking any laws. She was just perceived as such a threat that she had to be put away permanently. Mm-hmm. We saw earlier this year, on January the 6th, hundreds, thousands of people descending on the nation's capital. Have we seen this in our lifetimes? No. Barging into the nation's capital, having legislators scampering, hiding under desks, you know, running for their lives, and five mm-hmm. people killed. What are we waiting for to address this question? And it is the same question. The question was, Trump himself agitated the group, saying, mm-hmm. you know, you better see to our version of democracy, because what is happening here in the nation's capital is they're getting ready to take the country from you. And it was met with no resistance. It's just Trump, you know, he's just mouthing off, but look what happened. And soon enough, people will start taking sides en masse. You'll have people who say, well, okay, Trump lost the election, but that doesn't mean he loses his right as an American citizen. His political rights are still intact. he can do what he wishes. However, there's the flip side of that coin. Again, I go back to January the 6th. No one would have been comfortable predicting that there was going to be a face-off in Washington, D.C. with people who were armed, including with the bombs and weapons, and with the specific aim of kidnapping and capturing members of Congress that they don't like, and urged by the same man who lost. And we agree that he is off center. Certainly, I'm putting it nicely. He has been off center for a long time, and it had become even more so and more evident in his capacity as president of the United States. He's no longer president. But
I'd say that's characteristic of most people in his wealth class.
Well, that's funny, because people in his wealth class don't like him.
But they tolerate him, and they're not going to take him down because they're class-oriented. They don't care about whether they like an individual. Their job is to protect their class, something the working class doesn't understand.
But their job is already made manifest. They have their marching orders as to their fealty to the class, and they fulfill them. They don't need anybody named Trump to tell them how to serve their class. They have many more billions of dollars than he could ever get. So we have to come to this question. How do you rein in a profligate as Trump, who insists he can do anything he wants to do, even if it causes confusion, even if it sparks rioting, including with the deaths of 5 people? He has not been made responsible for that. And we have to not let this go. It's got to be resolved. Because if
it's
not Trump,
is this a problem we can vote away or gab away? Trump isn't the one that stormed the Capitol. Half the country thinks he's great.
We don't care about
what
the country
thinks. They're ready to do battle for him. Now, what do we do in
the face of that?
This is
not to be run by polls. What the country thinks is, in effect, secondary, or if it's relevant at all. What we ought to be thinking is about this phrase that we use a lot, which is law and order. He is neither for law and order if he sees it as going against what he personally wishes. He is not a well man. And he is directing this show. It has already yielded terrible results, embarrassing results, and fatal results. But he is allowed to continue as the shadow president, as the parallel president of the United States. Who is going to put an end to that?
Then is the theory that if Trump is quiet and goes away, his followers will go away? Is that the idea? Because I don't think that's true.
Trump's followers will do whatever Trump says. I accept that. I'm interested in whether the country can afford to have this kind of confusion and accept it as par for the course. It has not come up as a public discussion. We should reject this. This is antithetical to democracy.
Where would this public discussion take place? At the mall? Where would it take place?
Wherever it takes place.
In the corporate media? There's no place for a public discussion. That's impossible in the United States.
Well, that's not true. You can have a public discussion without it being in the public.
Where is this ethereal public where everybody meets and discusses things?
The same place where discussions had been held when people were vying against each other for leadership within their respective parties. They moved it all around the country.
It sounds to me like this magic place where people are supposed to be held accountable. People were always talking about that, too, public discussions and people being held accountable. And there's no such mechanism for doing it.
There is a mechanism for doing it because we see it expressed in the newspapers. We see it expressed on the television stations. We see it expressed
corporate media?
In the churches. Yes. Yes.
That's
they're
the public
expressing
forum?
What it means to be American. They're expressing.
All right, go down to your local TV station and say, "I want an hour on the air to discuss this," and they'll call the police.
You're being trivial now.
I'm not being trivial. I'm saying, how do you take part in this public discussion?
We have as a country that must be resolved and soon, because it's going to get very much worse, and it's going to foment physical or warlike behavior between and among people who supposedly disagree.
Yeah, you have two choices.
No,
if you're attacked, you can lay down and let them attack you, or you can actually fight back. But standing around relying on imaginary public forums isn't going to do it.
But you're not understanding.
There aren't any public forums.
You're talking over me. You're not understanding. You can't hear me, what I'm saying.
Sure I can.
I'm saying that we passed the point, as a matter of fact. It's going to get worse.
Yes,
and don't say I didn't call it out. This is a major problem. People don't think so. And being encouraged not to think so.
Well, I agree with you, and I think people do see it.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, this is my point of view. Everything I have presented has been my point of view. From the very beginning, when I said this president needs serious psychiatric care. That was my point of view. And it preceded by several months the same assessment by lettered people in the field of psychiatry. That was my point of view. That this man should not be unleashed. He should not be unleashed without some provision for serious psychiatric treatment. I'm not the only one saying it now.
No one disagrees with that, Eutrice. What I'm asking is,
yes, they do. They say, you're not a psychiatrist. How could you come to that conclusion about our beloved Donald Trump?
I come to that conclusion about virtually every president in my lifetime. They're not only incompetent, but they're so slavish.
I'm not talking about every president. I am speaking about a specific president who, now out of the presidency, insists that he still is president.
And again, as I pointed out originally, that's nothing new in American history. Lots of presidents have done that.
I'm not discussing whether it's new. I'm discussing that it still exists, and it shouldn't.
Sure. What's the mechanism for stopping it? That's my question. What do we do about it? The system isn't going to do anything about it. Biden isn't going to do anything about it. The Congress isn't.
Let's make it clear. Let Biden make it clear. We should ask Mr. Biden whether he's comfortable with this arrangement. We should ask the Democratic Party whether, after asking Americans to exercise their franchise, which they did, whether they're satisfied with this arrangement. We should ask people who tell us all about the importance of voting. The vote has been taken. Why are we in this condition at this moment and tolerating a parallel presidency? Do you recognize it as a parallel presidency? Do you really think it poses no threat to the elected president? It poses no threat to even the concept for which we voted, which was that one person is the president, the other person is gone. Till the next time. You want to run again? Go run again.
Okay, so how do we get the 200 ex-bankers and ex-lobbyists at the top of the Democratic Party to sit down and even listen to the question? What's the mechanism for doing that? That's my point.
I'm not interested in the bankers. I'm interested in the people.
They're the heads of the party.
Safeguarding the so-called integrity of the vote. That's what I'm interested in. And the process, the democratic process. I don't care about bankers and whether they like
but
it or they don't.
They run the party. They're ex-bankers and ex-lobbyists that are the 200 people at the top of the Democratic
relevant.
Party.
The main thing I want resolved, the main thing I think that needs to be resolved is who the hell is the president of the United States?
Well,
and what makes
him
so?
I understand what your complaint is. I'm saying, what's the mechanism for the remedy? What's the remedy?
You figure that out. Just like to figure out the vote. How are you going to conduct the vote? They figured it out. We at least should start asking the question. We should be dealing with the issue. When I said this is going to be a problem, we had 5 people killed in Washington, D.C. at the being set up by this man.
And they've appropriated, over $1 billion for White House security? Right? That's their response.
You're talking apples and oranges here. I'm still on my point. I haven't deviated from my point.
No,
this is not only irregular,
to the problem.
But it is wrong, and it should be forthwith. It should be clarified. And there ought to be some kind of a policy statement about it, but both sides are unwilling to do it because they think of it as very politically chancy. Thanks so much. I'm going to take one more
call.
Thank
you, Utrecht.
Thank you for calling in and contributing. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht. How are you?
You can tell.
you sound like me with your thumbs. I too, like you, appreciate law and order. Unlike Marcus, I don't think it's all just a show or some type of morality play. I think there are rules to the game, and I think that the only way you can properly play a game is if you abide by those rules. That being said, this is my personal opinion, take it or leave it. We are in the beginning of the end of this great American experiment. When you have a literal madman who can not only question the electoral process, which has been in effect in this country for over 200 or 300 years, and still be a viable contender and still have a major part, whatever the party is, whether they're the two sides of the same coin, have major players in the other party still kowtowing to him at his palatial estate in Mar-a-Lago or Jersey, or wherever this clown is, something's wrong. When you don't have any men of character, when you don't have any women of character with the ability to get up and say, hey, you know, no, we're not listening to you. Go away. And this is where we stand. This is our system, and good, bad, or indifferent, and this is what we're holding to. You don't have anybody. You got men without chest. And when you've got people with no character, when you've got people with no intestinal fortitude or testicular fortitude, this is what happens. So just, cover down, and I laugh at the end, because maybe it needs to end, because maybe something else better will come.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, but here's the promise. We continue tomorrow. This isn't finished. This is a question that has to be answered one way or the other. We got to have an answer. And we will pursue it tomorrow, continue our discussion. But I thank you all, Ali, Marcus, and Ed, for bringing us along today in your thinking. And worthwhile to listen to. Thank you so much. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.